Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Levins.
And today we are looking at Metroid Dread.
1,000 Worms, part 2.
And whatever the hell Jackson's been playing, who cares?
Worm update. That's what I'm here for, okay?
Yeah, how are the worms?
I got up at 7 a.m. to find out how Levin's worms are doing, okay? I need to know.
Well, thankfully, their home arrived a couple of days after they arrived, and so I constructed a garden bed out of corrugated iron, and I filled it with no less than 9 enormous 20-kilo bags of soil, and then the worm home, which is this big plastic thing, sits in the middle of it, and you open it up, and then you feed the worms, like, and they compost your food scraps.
And then they
go out the little holes in the plastic container into the soil that I've put there, and then they like poo out all of the nutrients and make really, really good soil.
Are you gonna grow anything with the worm soil?
No, it's just worms. No. Check out just my like soil box.
It's just worm soil.
I guess we're gonna try and grow some herbs and veggies and that some rolls. Fruits.
If I could have any. Like, I want spring onions so desperately that, like, to grow somewhere. It's my dream to just be able to grab a little sprig of spring onion. Because when you buy spring onion...
Too many spring onions. You can only buy a stupid amount.
I'm one man! You know?
That...
I'm always leaving two soggy spring onions in the bottom of the fucking...
I'll give you a good recipe.
I became passionate.
I'll give you one, like a ginger scallion, so ginger shallot sauce, spring onion sauce, so you can make, and you keep that in your fridge in a big jar, and you just put it over everything. It's good.
I would love that, because I hate those slimy spring onions in the bottom of the crisper. And I got to pull them out, and I'm like, are they still good? And the answer is never yes.
But opening up the envelope full of worms was quite an experience.
I
started opening it and you pour it out and they're in a little bit of soil.
Yeah.
And so I plonked them out into their new home and I was like, that can't be 1,000 worms. And then I kind of like shook it a little bit and sure enough, it just like writhing pile of like a rat king of worms. They're all just interconnected and I went to Bunnings, which just reopened up here. It's a big hardware store in Australia. And I'm a fool. Why have I been getting worms mailed to me? You can go to any Bunnings and just buy a box of worms off the shelf. Like shelf-stable worms. You can even buy worm eggs.
That's crazy.
I might just go buy some worms from the backyard just for the thrill of it.
Yeah, and the fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not, dude?
And the bed, each bedroom.
Yes.
Little pile of worms on the pillow, like the tooth fairy came or whatever.
But I'm like, I'm like fascinated by like worms can just 1,000 worms can just live in a box on a shelf for I don't know how long.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's no expiration date on them. I don't know.
How do they know? Like, is there a chance you just pour out the worms and they're not writhing?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I don't know. Maybe there's like a worm man that monitors the boxes of worms at every Bunnings. I don't know how it works.
How long does a worm live? You know what I mean? Yeah. They seem like they're one of those animals that barely seem alive already. So, like, what? You know, how long are they going
to
stick around?
These are questions for the worm man. You got to go to Bunnings and ask for the worm man.
I'd like to see the worm man, please.
Time is precious. Time is money. Take me to the worm man. Yeah.
So, obviously, the worms finally finding a home has been the biggest story of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The game everyone was looking forward to getting an update on. I clocked 1,000 worms.
You got the good ending. They're happy and you have good soil.
Yeah. I unlocked a JPEG of one of the worms in a bikini.
That's the best way to get Jackson to play the game. How's Croco Block Knockers? Let's get an update on that.
Yeah. I stopped playing it. It got too hard.
Yeah.
I realized I could get
it got too hard or you got too hard.
Huh? Yeah, my boner was getting in the way.
As the frustration built, I became flaccid and I was like, I can get softcore anime titties online. I'm going. And stop playing.
Have you considered buying another softcore anime titty game?
I haven't, but I should, because there's plenty on the Nintendo
Switch. Oh, there's so many. It's insane. Every week it's like, oh, unleash the visual novel in which you're attending a volleyball high school.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it'll say something vague like 10 scenes. And you're like, I know what those scenes are of. I saw it might have been on Steam maybe recently. There was like a, what the hell was it called? Yeah, I know that's
Switch,
not
the Switch store is like the Wild West, but Steam's game store when it comes to horny anime games is just like
it's full on.
Just a porno parlor.
There's been a movement of releasing clock games, like clock apps on the Switch eShop. There's a new one just dropped called like AM Clock or something like that.
Hell
this
yeah!
Week. I would buy a horny anime clock on my Switch.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. When it hits like midday or whatever, you get to see a snifter of titty or whatever. So you quickly rush to your Switch to check
A waft of areola. Yeah.
Oh heck yeah! And then you go about your day or whatever.
Gotta go get my midday areola.
Yeah, actually, there was a game. It must have been in the Switch store, and it was like a weird. You played a sleazy Mario who was a landlord, and a bunch of horny girls moved into your. It was the weirdest looking game ever.
That sounds right up your alley.
It was
raunchy. That legitimately sounds funny, and you should buy it if it's on Switch or Steam.
Yeah, and then it was like 10 scenes, and I was like, okay. Okay.
Wait, you're not thinking of the classic limited run games ported Plumbers Don't Wear Ties?
No, not Plumbers Don't, which I should get as well, but no. I don't know. I was about to start trying to Google it, but God knows what to search for.
Horny Mario game.
Well, there's a horny Super Meat Boy game just dropped.
Oh, really?
What's it called?
That is a great question. Where is this game?
I wonder what the most hardcore erotic game on the Switch is at the moment. If any of you perverts out there, let me know what the most full-on, like, there's full-on just vagina in there or anus or full-on
what if that's
penis.
The name of the game? Full-on,
full-on
vagina.
Vagina or
64.
Anus.
The horny Super Meat Boy game is called 20 Ladies.
Great name. All of these have great names. It's going to be funny to Google 20 ladies.
Just go 20 ladies Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it. Cool.
Yeah. It's good. Maybe we should get into the horny games. Anyway, the other big thing that happened this week, and I don't know, maybe a medium-sized thing, is that the direct sequel to the 2002 game Metroid Fusion came out, Metroid Dread. Guess what, Jackson? You're the only one in this episode who hasn't played it. And,
idiot.
Yeah.
This is going to be another Resident Evil Village situation. I just know it. where I'm mocked and mocked and mocked, and then like 4 months later, I'm like, I played it, and everyone's like, shut up. Who cares? Yeah.
We're over that now. Yeah. No, I'll be happy to hear about Metroid. So, Levins and I both played Metroid Dread this week. We both not only played it, but finished it.
Nice. Yeah, man. It was, I had to ruin my life a little bit to trying to finish it within the first 5 days of it coming out. But it was worth it. I still feel exhausted, but man, what a satisfying conclusion to a game and also the series.
That's
great. It's, it does a lot of really interesting things. So just like story wise, it is literally a direct sequel to Metroid Fusion. So the fact that Nintendo just did nothing to make that game accessible for the current generation.
That rules.
But that said, I think you can just play this game and not worry about the lore. Like I think it is like just a strange space game.
Yeah.
if you haven't played the Metroid before.
Yeah.
There's like two, maybe three big story dumps in it. But apart from that, nothing.
Yeah. For sure.
They're great though. They're utter nonsense if you have played them all, they're still nonsense, but they're great nonsense.
You just get bombarded with so much information at points. You're like, what are you saying? Because they're just like, yeah, so this is from planet SR30. I always forget what that planet is. Remember ZBX. Your adventure? Yeah. ZBX is where Dread's set, but I was thinking about the other planet. Anyway, it's like, remember them, your mission on planet S3H6. Yeah. Chozos, you've absorbed the DNA of a Metroid. You're just getting all of this, and you're like, "What are you saying, game?"
That's great.
Yeah, and like the funny thing about this is like if you haven't played a Metroid game before, and you play this as your first one, you're like, "Oh, I can't wait to see what all this Metroid stuff is." And then, like very early on, they're like, "Metroids are extinct. there aren't Metroids in this game."
That rules.
Actually, yeah, this could be so. Like, I mean, obviously, because we've both finished it, there's going to be like light story spoilers, but also like it's nonsense, and you're not playing this game for the story. So
I would love to do, if Jackson wouldn't mind us spoiling the game for you.
At
the end of the episode, I want to talk about, because I'm desperate to talk about how insane the last 20 minutes of the game are.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's do that. We'll give you a warning before we talk about it, obviously, and we'll save it for the end of the episode. But yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah, if you have played Metroid games before, I'm really, really glad that my lead up to this game was what it was, because this feels like a halfway point between Metroid Samus Returns and Metroid Fusion.
Those are definitely the two games that it feels the most similar to. But then in terms of gameplay, I feel like, I'm really glad I replayed Zero Mission too.
Yeah, you start the game, you go to a mission on ZDB.
ZBB. I thought it was ZBX. Or is that...
Oh, ZDR, isn't it?
ZDR. What is it? Doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of letters. You're on a planet.
You land on a planet.
You have a gun.
You've got a gun. Yeah. It's your arm.
Yeah.
The game starts where you've got your suit all powered up. You got all your abilities from your previous mission.
Nice.
You roll into this planet. You get attacked by an unknown assailant. And you wake up... You get knocked unconscious, you wake up at the core of the planet, which is different, because usually Metroid games take place the opposite way.
Yeah, you start on the surface, go deep.
Yeah, and this, your ship's on the surface, and the game, you're meant to be like, get back to your ship, get off this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Because the planet has a bunch of stuff on it, and you've realized that, and you're like, well, I gotta go blow this planet up.
Yeah.
So, as Samus, you've got to slowly progress, trying to go up to your ship whilst unlocking more abilities so you can get further and further in the game to achieve your end goal, which is blow up this God damn it. I got excited too.
You dog mouth motherfucker.
You dog mouth absolute fucker, huh?
Hey, fuck you.
Yeah, let the floodgates open, baby.
No.
No more rules.
Heaps of rules. Straight off the bat, and you would have heard this already if you're aware of this game at all.
This is the third podcast I've done about Metroid Dread in 2 days, by the way.
Hell yeah!
That rules.
So, Jax, you may have heard this, and Levins, you've probably already said it in one of the three podcasts you've done in the last 2 days. Metroid Dread? Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, I have heard that.
I don't like I've heard a lot of discourse about the difficulty of this game, but if you've been following this genre of game over the last 10 years, you know, this has become such a mainstay of indie games, the Metroidvania genre, your Hollow Knights, your Auris, your Blasphemouses, you know, SteamWorld Dig 2s. I feel like a lot of those games are way harder than I would say this game. Like, yeah, that you definitely made me feel more lost in this game at points than some of those games will have you feeling. But until, like, those final few boss fights, I don't think this even comes close to the level of difficulty that you face in, like, Hollow Knight.
Yeah,
No. Hollow Knight, way harder. Blasphemous is harder than this, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that's kind of, like, a lot of the Metroid games, they... Yeah, I don't know. I've obviously some of the 2D ones are easier than others, but I think it's just standard. Like the level of difficulty is not, you know what I mean? Like, this is not a particularly difficult game within even the Metroid franchise. It's just...
Oh, no. It's definitely the hardest Metroid
game. Yeah, I would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Because usually boss fights in Metroid games is just, you just spam it with missiles. And, you know, dodge the attack. Jump over the attack every now and then. This is like, it asks a lot of you. It's very twitch based combat, a lot of counter moves.
And the final
boss, which we'll talk about at the end, is like a three phase fight. It took me quite a few goes to even get past the first phase, and then you know, to be rewarded with getting my ass handed to me within seconds of reaching the second phase.
Jackson, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but you mentioned that you miss boss phases.
I did.
Every single boss in Metroid Dread has multiple phases. The main bosses. There's a lot of mini bosses that just have like one phase, but they're hard, so don't worry about it.
I think one of my favorite bosses ever that had multiple phases is the boss for Rayman 3 Hoodlum Havoc, which I know sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm. It does, but you're right.
There's about five phases to that boss, and each one is massively unique. One becomes just a platforming challenge at a certain point, but the last phase is the little black lum or like fairy or whatever that's possessed the thing. That's the final boss. He's just shitting himself as you chase him around to just grab him and eat him or whatever. And man, that was great. To go through all that effort to defeat this guy, and then he's just like a little black fairy being like, oh man, don't eat me. And I'm like, I'm coming for you. And then you just grab him very simply and swallow him whole or whatever. That was awesome.
Rayman eats a fairy?
Oh, he does something to it. I forget what. In my mind, it's eating it. But as your tone indicates, Levin, surely that's not the case.
Yeah.
Beloved cannibal Rayman.
I think is it Final Fight where the final boss is in a wheelchair and you throw him out a window? I think so.
That's great too. I like
it. It's the
both great endings.
The boss fight takes place at the top of a skyscraper and it ends with you throwing them out a window.
I think I just really like a boss fight that's really difficult and then very, very easy for the final phase. I think I got a lot of time for that.
Metroid Dread, not for you, because the second phase of most of these boss fights is harder than the first.
Well, I mean, it's not like a real final phase. You know what I mean?
It's a joke one.
It's a goof one. Yeah.
Yeah. The other part that is like a new addition to the Metroid series is that this features an enemy called an Emmy, E-M-M-I.
E-M-M-Y. It's given for outstanding direction in a comic or animated series.
Every couple of levels you got to go accept an Emmy from the awards ceremony. You got to make a unique speech every time.
Damn, and that's
the second
tough.
Phase, it turns into a Tony Award.
Got to go for an
James Corden gives it to you.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris is there too. You got to avoid talking to both of them. It's stealth-based. So the Emmys, the seven robots that were sent to this planet before you that were meant to do the job that Samus has now been sent to do, but the Galactic Federation lost contact with them. And when you get to the planet and you encounter one, you find out that the villain of the game has reprogrammed them to kill you, and they are indestructible. And so there's certain areas of the game, which are Emmy zones, where you have to either be quick or use stealth.
Well, you don't get that upgrade until like a couple of worlds in, but essentially you enter the Emmy zone, and it can hear your footsteps. And yeah. So you have to sneak by it undetected, because as soon as it detects you, the screen flashes red, the music gets ramps up intensity.
Oh, God.
And normally you'd love it, Jackson, because oh, yeah. never before have just the like quiet beepings of a random robot been so terrifying.
Yeah, that's
you enter
so
one of
good.
These zones and all you can hear is just this beep 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 as it like it scans no. the room around you.
That's great.
And then yeah, once it some of them like locking on you, they're faster than you. And once, if you ever bump into them, it initiates a cutscene that you can, it's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
You can counter their attack and stun them and then slide underneath their legs and keep trying to get away from them. But yeah. more often than not, you're going to get a game over screen because it yeah. kills you instantly.
I love that
and
shit.
And Jackson, yeah. the way it kills you is its head opens up and a giant knife plunges into your chest.
That rolls. Hell yeah. That's not what I would expect at all.
Yeah, so get ready to watch Samus get stabbed to death over and over
Hell
and over
yes.
again. Because, yeah, I've finished this game. I reckon I successfully counted an Emmy like 10 times at the very most.
I got good That's at awesome. It towards the end. I was countering more than I was getting game over.
Oh, yeah.
I counted twice in a row.
Yeah,
and it was feeling real good, and then missed time to jump and fell straight back onto it and got stabbed.
That's incredible.
Because, yeah, like Levin said, Jackson, and listeners, so at first you're just like, you've got no stealth abilities, you can't do anything. But as the game progresses, you get more things you can use to stealth away from the Emmy. And then when you start getting good at it, it's like, oh, by the way, parts of this are underwater and you don't have a gravity suit. So you're even slower and can't jump high. Good luck.
God. And you're even slower awesome. At countering them underwater.
You oh, yeah.
You counter them and your hand moves. Yeah, it's very great.
That's awesome. That's so
hey,
good.
Levins and listeners that have played Metroid Dread, do you know there's 2 points where you can counter an Emmy? I did not know that until I just read something.
Yes, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's 2 moments. Yeah, yeah.
I only knew. I thought that if you missed the first one, it was you were boom, dead. But no, apparently there's 2.
That's great. It sounds so good. I like more, man, games with bosses where they're like, well, not bosses, but just enemies where they're like, you just can't kill this guy. Sorry, yeah. too bad. It's awesome. It's great.
The way that it works is you usually have to explore the area whilst running away from the Emmy. You eventually get to a room, which is like a giant brain. You kill the brain. That brain gives you a one-use power-up called the Amiga Cannon. Yeah. And that can be used to break the Emmy's
Yeah, the first version of it, you just basically like warm up a huge, powerful shot that you like wait until the Emmy is coming at you and then just shoot it at its head and its head explodes. But later on, you have to hold down Y, which fires like, I guess, almost like machine gun ammo from this. And you have to break open this casing around its head first.
That's cool.
And as you keep coming through these, the Emmy zones become more and more like labyrinthian.
Yeah.
And you have to, because you need a long stretch of road for them to come straight at you, for you to shoot at them the entire, like for long enough for either the beam to charge or for, you know, that you to shoot them long enough for the casing to come off. And it becomes like, even though you have this extremely powerful weapon, it's still so tense because if it catches up to you before you manage to blow it up.
If you mess up at all.
You're in that, you know, very difficult to strike counter zone again.
Yeah.
Dude, so good. What an amazing mechanic. And you feel like you feel, and then the best thing about it is once you've killed the Emmy, those zones are free for you to explore at your own leisure. And they're full of secrets and all kinds of great shit. I had such a good time with, like, I saw a lot of people complaining about it. There's an article that's kind of become a meme where the review's like, you know, Metroid made me feel miserable, and it's just complaining about all these things that we say are great. So
For sure.
I read that review. Basically, there's a review out there, like Levin said, but it's like, Metroid's great, but it made me feel miserable and I never want to play it again. Games don't have to be hard to be good.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you're a game reviewer. You would have definitely played games that are harder than this.
Also, Nintendo don't publish games like this anymore, and it's so cool that they were like, to quote Joel Dusha, "Fuck it,
God damn it,
let's put out a really difficult, really scary, space bounty hunter game." And, that's what I want from a Metroid game. And
absolutely,
I love this.
It's the highest or quickest selling Metroid game ever so far.
in which the usually UK. It's hard, very hard to get stats, but yeah, it's sold. Funny. Yeah.
Which usually would be huge news, but because it's Nintendo, it means absolutely nothing. It could be their most selling game on the Switch, which it obviously won't be. Yeah. And I still wouldn't lock in a sequel.
No, I'm sure.
I can see this selling like 5 million. And I think like for a Metro game, that's enormous. And I hope the goodwill of like reviews and I don't know. I'm just like, I want to share the positivity because they have an engine now. They've built this game in. Make this an annual franchise, please. I will happily play a 10-hour new Metroid game where, like, you know, it's similar level layouts, but, you know, different enemies and different power-ups and weird villains and bosses and alien lore. Incredible cutscenes. Like, man, this was such a joy. I think this is my favorite game of 2021.
It's definitely my favorite game of 2021.
Just because I had high expectations, but like I knew that my high expectations were unrealistic. So by that admission, I had low expectations because I was like, this is probably going to be a game that, you know, maybe I get 80% of the way through and then I'm like, you know, they did their best.
Yeah.
And then maybe I don't finish, or it's a game that I finish and then everyone else is like, it's a 6 out of 10. But I'm like, yeah, it was a good 6 out of 10 though, but it's far and away like a 9 or even, you know, this is as good as a Metroid game as I feel like you could get right now. And I think using this engine, you can do an even better one. I did an All the Small Games episode with John yesterday where I cheated and I used Metroid Dread as a conversation starter because the Metroidvania genre is definitely a big indie game, Star Wars.
It's
such an important genre with indie games. And I play like 5-6 of them every year. And I wanted to ask the question, you know, does this hold up when you compare it to some of the best indie Metroidvania games? And I think it does, but those big sprawling 30 to 50 hour Metroidvania games like Hollow Knight and Blasphemous, that's not what this is. This is a very refined, tight adventure, which you can backtrack through at some points of the game, but it's not quite as linear as Metroid Fusion is, where, like, you know, you are constantly being told by like, you know, your guide where to go next. The game will lock you out of areas you've already been to sometimes because of like weather hazards or like, you know, there'll be a ledge you can't jump up back until you get an upgrade to do to allow yourself to do that. And then it nudges you towards the path that it wants you to take.
Yeah.
And there is like a beauty to that, like this, like this ballet that you're performing, that the game wants you to perform, you know, it wants you to follow this path. Some people might be annoyed at the linearity of that, but I found it really, really cool.
I think that's kind of great. Like, I think those are just two different kinds of Metroidvania, basically.
There's also, so that being said, and one thing that was really nice about this is there's like, I would say a handful of moments where you're meant to go next isn't super obvious and it is so easy to go the wrong way and then just be like, Where am I going? Yeah. Especially like probably around the midpoint of the game, I think that it happens. There's an item you get where once you get that item, the rest of the game is so hard. Like you get a beam upgrade. And from that point onwards, the game is way harder. Every boss is a nightmare.
Because every boss, every villain is also like every enemy is like kind of two enemies in one because it's an ex-parasite taking over that. Like the host of that, like, you know, that and so like once you kill them and the ex-parasite just moves off somewhere else into the level and becomes a new enemy for you to take down.
But prior to that, there's like a big chunk of the game where the items you're getting aren't necessarily items that are used for traversal or not obvious traversal. So yeah, there's a big chunk where you're like, all right, I got this item, and you're looking at the map and you're like, I don't know where this is meant to take me.
Yeah,
there was a couple of times where I just found myself wandering around huge open areas for like an hour being like, where am I meant to go?
What to do next?
I mean, I'm so used to kind of going, okay, I can't do anything in this room, or should I shoot every single pixel?
And then I
found my way out.
That's just the Metroid, Metroid.
There's
maybe
one very early on, and I had three different people being like, I'm stuck, I don't know where to go now. And I'm like, okay, when you're in the area where there's two exits that you can't go into because your suit catches on fire because it's too hot in there, just shoot all the blocks around that area, and then sure enough, like, oh, yep, cool, I know now.
yeah.
I think that's an early lesson that the game gives you. It's like, you know, you're never actually stuck. You can always shoot your way out of places. And there's a ton of sequence breaking you can do too. I'm not as good at a gamer as I need to be to get into these spots that you can get into. But you can access upgrades to your suit and you know power and abilities far earlier than the game actually wants you to. And the game acknowledges that there are ways to destroy some of the early bosses. Like there's you fight a boss called Kraid, which is a returning enemy from the Metroid franchise, and you're not meant to have the morph ball with the morph bombs, the ball bombs, or whatever they're called at that point. But if you do have them through sequence breaking, getting to an area that you shouldn't be in by like doing a bunch of weird jumps.
Yeah.
He like lifts up and you can destroy him by bombing him.
Oh, that's great.
And it's so crazy to have like the devs acknowledge that like people are going to like break.
Sequence break.
Try as hard as I can to break this game.
Well, I looked up... because I was wondering if there was a... because the Prime series has an 100% ending. And I was like, I wonder if they've done it for this. So I just looked it up. There's not. But there is multiple like art galleries you unlock by beating the game in certain conditions.
Which piece of artwork did you get?
I got Zero Mission.
Oh, me too. Okay, cool. So that's the same.
Yeah. So Zero Mission you get for just beating the game on normal. If you beat the game on normal in under 8 hours, you get something else. And then if you beat it under 4 hours, you get a different thing. Then it's the same thing. So yeah, Levins and I beat this game. It took me way longer because I backtracked way more than Levins did before the final boss. Levins beat the game in like just under 10 hours, and it was like 11 was like and a half.
9 hours and 11 minutes, I think.
Okay, nice. So Levins beat the game in 9 hours.
Yeah.
Not under 10 hours like I previously stated.
Thank you for clarifying.
And I beat the game in 11 and a half hours. And that was just like a normal playthrough. So to know that one of the like things you have to do is beat the game in under 4 hours to unlock stuff is crazy. And then you have to do the same thing on hard mode, under 8 and under 4. And the last thing you unlock is a Zero Suit Samus gallery. So done, gamers. Have some horny.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, and I love these games, but I know I'll never be good enough to I maybe could have beat it in 8 hours, under 8 hours, but I definitely could have if I go back to it now. But it's not like New Game Plus mode where you start the game with all your abilities. You still have to go through and find them all again. And
I think what would happen with me is that I would start the game again and I would get lost way easier because I would be remembering areas from later in the game.
Yeah, true.
Before I had, and I'd be like, oh, I meant to go that way. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't have the grapple beam or whatever yet.
Yeah, I was at Angus from HeyFam's house last night.
Shouts to Angus.
We can record in person again now. So we redid HeyFam. We did a good half-hour chunk of HeyFam on Metroid Dread. And he surprised me by showing that he'd bought an OLED Switch.
Whoa.
I know. I was as shocked as you are, Dusha. Sure, no. I go into it, berate him in the episode. He talked me out of getting one. Just like he did with the Switch Lite and then got both of them.
That's so funny.
So he has... I didn't know he had a... What? That's insane. Yeah, Angus.
I know.
What?
He like negs me and then does the thing that he's been negging me to do. For.
That's so funny.
Anyway, I played a little bit of Metro Dread on his OLED and it looks great. The black color is very, very like noticeably darker than what I played it on my launch Switch. I played the entire thing in handheld, by the way.
See, I played the entire thing docked. In fact, I bought a pro controller for it.
Nice. Whoa!
I don't know. I've played every Metroid game in handheld, so just made sense for me to play it in this. And I think Metroidvanias in general, I don't need to see that map blown up big on my TV. Yeah. I like it immediately in front of my eyes.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it was crazy, like having clocked the game that day with like you know your full set of powers at the end. He was like midway through the game, and I was like doing jumps and like you know not able to do the space jump or the screw attack. You do feel so neutered going back to that point in the game without all your full set of powers and abilities.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, the game rules. We'll talk about the ending a little bit later.
Oh, it's but phenomenal, man. Have you like?
Yeah.
I just can't say enough good things. I mean, clearly this is my third podcast about it this week. But I can't say anything. Have me on your podcast if you want someone to talk positively about Dread, because that's what I want to do. Like, but honestly, support this game. If it sounds even remotely appealing to you, if you like a challenge from a game, if you like Metroid franchises, this is absolutely, like, this is so much better than Samus's Return. What's it called? Return of Samus? Yep. I can never remember what it was called.
Well, it's because the original version is called Metroid 2: Return of Samus.
Yep.
And then when they remade it, it's called Samus Returns.
That's right. It
feels like it's taken all the ideas of that and just made them infinitely better. It's good stuff. Great stuff, even. I bought like a $150 collector's edition of this. And it is enormous. I was like, oh, it comes with an art book. That's cool. But the art book is like A4 size, which I was not expecting.
That rules. That's so good.
Yeah, the box is, yeah, it's enormous.
I'm kicking myself for not getting the amiibo, because when they announced it, I was like, oh, it's Samus in a dumb costume and some weird looking robot. I love those weird looking robots, and the idea that I can have one of them on display in my house at all times.
Yeah,
I'm probably gonna have to pay $100 for those amiibo.
Yeah,
I have all my Metroid. I got them out because when I was dying repeatedly to that final boss fight, I was like, oh wait, don't, if you have Metroid amiibo, if you scan them, you get like upgrades. And so I got them all out, ready to like pause the game and give myself the upgrades if I needed them. And then that was the run that I got to the third phase with like a full thing of health, and I just took them out. And I was like, I didn't need the support of the amiibo, but I think I beat them because I knew they were there. They were watching.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one.
Oh, hell yeah.
This one's from Samus Returns, and it's like an actual squishy Metroid
that
you can use as a shot glass, because it comes in like a broken beaker.
Yeah.
And then the Ridley Smash amiibo is real tight, sick. Too. Yeah.
That's a great sick. One.
So, the things you get from the amiibos in the game, because I looked it up because I was jealous. I was like, I wonder what cool stuff I'm missing out on by not having an amiibo. Oh, yeah, Levins is holding up the Zero Suit Samus one, and he's making the kissy face. Oh, he's panting. Oh, he's going a wooga. He's mouthing a wooga.
Slapping himself in the face with his own shoe. Oh my God.
Humming a.
Yeah, because I was like curious if I like was not getting part of the game, but yeah, the upgrades are you get an extra energy tank with any of the hero characters from the Metroid amiibos.
Oh damn, that would have been great.
And then three times per day you can scan the hero amiibo and get 200 energy back. Right. So yeah, mid boss fight you can just regain 200 health.
Okay, that would have been great.
And the villains give you missiles. I think it's just an extra 5 missiles, and then the same thing gives you extra missiles.
That's cool.
In the game.
That's fun.
Yeah. Because, usually an energy tank, that's 99 or 100 health you get. In a normal Metroid game, the moment you get that, you're like, okay, this game's going to become a bit easier. But, like, the final boss takes, like, an energy tank and a half every hit.
Some of the attacks, even more. Yeah.
There's, like, a charge attack that I think takes almost 3. And at this point, like, I'd backtracked and, like, gotten a bunch of energy tanks. And I had, I think, 11.
Yeah.
And even then. I did it with 7.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
It's a tough
game. I loved it. Like, give me that challenge. I think I love nothing more than like having the thing where you're like, I don't think I'll be able to beat this boss. And then you just keep dying and getting used to what he's going to do next. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then the catharsis,
It took me nearly 2 hours to beat the final boss, I think.
That rolls.
I've just I had one attempt, I stopped, then after that came back to it and then just sat there for like nearly 2 hours, just dying, trying again over and over and over again. It was good.
My kids kept checking in on me like, have you beat him yet, Dad? Because they didn't want to watch it. So I was just like sitting on the couch trying to beat it.
So 10 thumbs. It's my game of the year.
Yeah, damn too.
Hell yeah. And at the end of the episode, we'll talk the very end part of Metroid. Because if you want to play it, don't listen to that part, because it took us by surprise and rules.
So sick.
I'm excited to hear.
So, Jackson, what have you been playing?
I'll be quick.
Bored already. Can we talk about Metroid again?
It better start with Metroid, and then the following thing better be a subtitle of a Metroid game.
I'm sorry, it's not.
God damn it!
I played a little horror indie called Bloodwash. The premise of which is that you need to wash your clothes at a nearby laundromat. You leave your...
What?
It's good. Shut up. You need to... It's a horror game. And so it starts with you leaving your filthy apartment.
I thought that was like the goal of... Is this the goal of the game?
Well, kind of. So, okay. So you leave your apartment to go wash your clothes. You take them downstairs. The whole place is filthy and disgusting and very threatening. You play a pregnant woman whose name I can't recall. You get down to the bottom of the washing machines or whatever at the bottom of your apartment, but they're broken. You get spooked by a man named Hobo Joe, who's you probably go to the laundromat in the city.
Yeah.
And then you go outside, catch a bus, and you, the main sort of bulk of the game, it's not like a super long game, you could probably beat it in like an hour, takes place in like a...
When was the last time you reviewed a game that was like over 90 minutes long, do you reckon?
It doesn't happen anymore. I'm done reviewing games longer than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But the basic bulk of the game is like, you're in like a sad, depressing, you know, like the kind of plaza where... It's kind of like a lot of destroyed buildings and not much is happening. And you know, the kind of vibe, like there's a laundromat, a pizza place, an electronics store. That's about it. And like a kind of industrial part of the city or whatever, or the outer suburbs. You're in this sort of like sad plaza at about 1 a.m. You go to the laundromat, you put your clothes on, and then they're like, right, you got 10 minutes till your clothes are done. Entertain yourself or whatever, like pass the time. And so you just wander around this plaza, but at the background of this, you find out before you arrive there that there's a serial killer on the loose who's killing pregnant women. So,
oh no.
Yeah. And you are a pregnant woman. So there's a lot of like really good, like moments that are scary, not scary as part of the, like the big sort of serial killer part of the game, but just basically where creeps creep on you. And it's very uncomfortable and it does a great job of it. Like you got to take the bus in and you do the bus ride and a guy gets on and just starts talking to you and asking to sit next to you. And you're like, please don't sit next to me. And he just keeps hassling you. And they just do a really good job of it, I guess. It's fun.
Is this all cutscene or do you have
you're just sort of like, you're in it. You know what I mean? Like you're,
no, but
you're,
is
I
it
mean,
like,
it's dialogue, I guess. You're kind of stuck in your chair or whatever, but.
And do you choose what to say, or are they just...
I guess it's more just like a sort of conversation where you're like, please leave me alone. But it does a good job of setting the tone. Oh, and so previous...
It's not a cutscene because you presumably can move the mouse and look around, and that's the only reason. Yeah.
But I guess it's still kind of technically a cutscene. But like then early in that, before you get on the bus, you're just like standing at the bus stop, and just a car pulls up, and no one gets out of it on the street across from you, and you're like... please go away, please go away, please go away. But they never do. And then you get on the bus, and then when you arrive at the plaza, the car's there, and you're like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. So it just does a really good job of like...
God damn it, Jackson! Oh, Remember where you are!
Sorry. Quote
Joel Dusha.
To quote Joel Dusha, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. But that just does a really good job.
I never said that!
You get completely cut that part of the episode out. So me and Lev is
we
just
know.
Bullying
we'll never,
you.
We'll never we'll let you forget.
Exactly.
Joel
there's like tons.
Fucking Dusha.
So there's tons of things to do while you wait for your clothes to wash, which is kind of where the bulk of the game is, and it's just fun to like go around and find all those different things to do.
This
like,
is the most Jackson Bailey shit in the world.
I know.
It's cool because I get to like wander around this weird mall.
Yeah, that is what's fun though. You get to pick up like a somebody's left effectively like a little handheld gaming device on a chair. You get to play through like a bunch of different games. There's a bunch of arcades around. You get to chat to a guy called Pappy for a bit who runs like a nearby general store or whatever, like a milk bar. He's got a porno section. No, it's not a milk bar. It's like a Video Easy. And he's got a porno section you can go into. It's real good. The game does ramp up once you start drying your clothes. which sounds so funny. But that's when it starts to become like more of a horror game.
Let me guess, you liked that part less.
No, it was great. Like it was really, really well done. So like as you're exploring and just picking up random stuff, you can find stuff related to the sort of like serial killer and the murders, and then you can go around and chat to like Pappy or the guy at the pizza place and be like, "Do you know anything about this?" And you sort of get your lore that way. And then the murderer comes in, and it's very grisly. Spoilers, but the murderer is wearing baby skin. So that's a pretty intense sort of like thing. I mean, it's all like that kind of PS1 style, you know, kind of blocky graphics, but it's pretty grisly. And
do you get killed?
No, you could presumably, but you get a gun, whatever, you can shoot the serial killer. There's a point where you're playing as a cop. That's a lot of fun. The cop that you call in the game when stuff starts to go awry, you play as the cop arriving and then you die. It's a fun little moment. Yeah, look, I've played a lot of horror indie games because mm-hmm. it's something I like to do. And some of them are great, but a lot of them suck shit. So it's really nice to play one that feels quite polished and feels quite like, I don't know. I guess it's just genuinely well made. It does a great job of setting tone. It does a great job of kind of putting you on the off foot of not really knowing what's going to happen next, which I think is like an impressive thing for a game like this, which is such a weird kind of game to be able to do. Like, you know, something is amiss and you know that you're in danger. And every time you're like, all right, time to leave the laundromat and just like wander to the other shops in this little plaza, you're like, I don't know what could happen to me at any point. I don't know how this game's sort of like going to keep moving forward. And I like that it's like, you're kind of, it traps you there because it's like, you need to wait for your clothes to dry. So you've got 10 minutes. So just when your clothes dry, you get to go home, but you have to wait for your clothes to dry. And it happens in real time and stuff. And I think it's probably the kind of game that would have a weird amount of replayability. Like, I want to go back and see what happens if I just put my laundry on, I just sit down and watch the TV in the corner of the laundromat. And I watch through the like full episodes of the Twilight Zone or whatever that are there. And then do my drying and then get out of there. Like, can I do it without anything spooky happening? I don't know. But yeah, look, if you're looking for a solid, 90 minutes of a fun horror indie that is a bit grisly, but has does a really good job of setting tone and genuinely sort of stressing you out. I definitely recommend it. I think it's great. It might be on the Switch. I'm not sure.
What's it called?
Bloodwash. Feels like the kind of game that could be on the Switch. And it cost me like $7, so...
Yeah, you played it on Steam, right?
Yeah, I played it on Steam.
If you beat it in 4 hours or less, do you get a Zero Suit version of the main character?
I think so. At least, at the very least, you should. You should get a Zero Suit one of Peepaw or whatever his name was. that would be good. But yeah, no, I recommend it. It's a really fun little horror game. Play it. Probably like... I don't know, like, giving it, there's nothing really wrong with it, nothing in it that I thought was bad, so I guess 5 thumbs, but also 5 thumbs seems like I'll probably say 5 thumbs. It's great. It's one of the best horror indies I've played in a very long time. I recommend
it. Hell yeah. Yeah. One of the developers of the game is called Black Eyed Priest.
There you go. That's all you need to know, baby.
Sick. Actually, that sounds good and looks good. It is only on Steam.
Only on Steam.
Well, Windows, I should say.
Yeah. But, sick. Yeah. Give it a go. Play it.
Well, before we get to the emails, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, better get 30, better get 20, 20, 20, better get 20, 20, better get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors.
Couple of emails this week. A lot about Nintendo and a lot about Metroid Dread, which is handy because...
Gotta say, it's another week where all of our... the PayFam Discord, you're doing me proud. A lot of people playing Metroid Dread in there. Makes me
so
happy.
Good to hear.
Sans Pants and Joel Dusha Discord communities. What's going on in there? No one's playing Metroid Dread. Some of you are replaying Persona 5 for the 7th time.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's a lot of hours you're spending playing Persona 5. I'm sure you can spare 10 of those hours to play Metroid Dread.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, also, just while we're quickly talking Discords and call-outs. So, yeah, the Sandspence Radio Discord and the Dusha Forever, Joel Dusha Discord. Not a lot of Metroid Dread action. But also, no one's reminiscing fondly on Two Door Cinema Club in there, unlike the PayFam Discord. Some bands should be left in the past.
I'm too old to know what they were, so...
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a single song.
I reckon they probably played a laneway that you DJ'd at. Anyway... Let's get to the emails. This is from Beth and Jason. Beth and Jason. Two people.
Duo.
One email. Yeah. I wonder who actually asked this question.
Yeah, I like
what
to think
they... What did they think of it in unison?
I think they were like, hang on a second, and they both looked at each other, and then they said it at the same time.
Maybe their name is just Beth and Jason.
Beth and Jason.
Yeah. Dear Thumb Thumbs, question for Dusha, since you're a full-blown Nintendo fanboy, and this is also going to go out to Levens, because... Hang on. Full-blown Nintendo fanboy these days? What do you mean, Beth
these
and
days.
Jason?
You've changed,
I have
Joel
two GameCubes. I've been in this shit for years. What dead franchise would you like to see Nintendo bring back to life? Keep on cramping, Beth and Jason. So, I would have said Metroid, but they did it.
True. It's back.
F-Zero.
Oh,
good choice.
Beautiful Joe.
Oh, that's even Capcom. Better choice.
Yeah, but it's part of the Capcom 5 or 4 or whatever it ended up being.
The GameCube exclusive ones.
Yeah, which I think it was Capcom 5. One of them never got released. One of them was Resident Evil 4, so it then got ported to everything. Beautiful Joe also got ported to PS2. And then I think the other one that actually got released that was part of it sucks, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, Beautiful Joe.
It was no good.
Forgot about Beautiful Joe. God damn.
There you go, Beth and Jason.
Or a Wario Land platformer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Wario Land.
I'd kill for it. I mean, obviously, that's my choice. A Wario Land platformer would make me jizz so hard. That, or if they made, like, another Super Princess Peach. That game was fun.
And a new Punch-Out game would be great.
Yeah, true.
I really like the Wii Punch-Out was really good. Mm. If you turn the motions off. I guess have another crack at Star Fox.
Yeah.
See how much worse you can make it from the last time.
Make Lilat Wars 64 too.
Yeah.
They did. That's all they know how to do. It's like, we're making a new Star Fox game and it's just 64 again.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, worse.
But worse.
Star Fox 65.
Significantly worse. I don't know why that made me think of... there's a great documentary on Netflix called Power Up or something. I don't know. It's like about the history of video games. And there's a great part about Doom. And the guys who made Doom going to the Nintendo offices to develop Doom, and how, I forget the name of the guy, but one of the guys that was like there to vouch for them would just keep coming in smoking cigarettes and telling them what to do. And it was because it was the only place that Nintendo would let anyone smoke was their office. So he would just come in and that's where he'd puff his darts and he'd just hassle them. Man, that's so funny.
Knowing that Doom was developed in a room full of cigarette smoke does not surprise me.
I'm pretty sure it was Doom. And they would be like, oh, you're coming in here. And he'd be like, yeah, you should do this now. And they're like, we're in the middle of it, man. He'd be like, yeah, whatever. And he'd just smoke his cigarettes. That's hilarious.
I hope Miyamoto was one of those people.
I forget who it was. Yeah, I wish I could remember.
Anyway, this next email is from Pete. Dear Thumb Cramps, isn't Metroid Dread the best? I was incredibly excited when I saw it announced originally, but worked incredibly hard to temper my expectations. It's not often a franchise is out of the spotlight as long as Metroid and it comes back so strong. Thankfully, Dread proved me very wrong, to the point I might quit my job just to play it for the foreseeable future.
Good plan.
Good idea. Yeah.
Anyway, it had me wondering, are there any games you had to temper or lower your expectations for that blew you away? Or the opposite, any games you were very excited about that turned out dog shit? Keep up the good work, Thumb Cramps. Pete.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Zelda games is always like, oh, will I actually like this one or hate it? Like, I didn't like Twilight Princess. I didn't like Skyward Sword. And they both got like, you know, 10 out of 10 reviews across the board.
Yeah.
And then it's only with like the hindsight of years afterwards that people are like, oh, actually those ones aren't very good. Like, why did you give them perfect scores?
Twilight Princess has had a weird trajectory because I feel like that it was acclaimed. Then like, within a month, people were like, oh, actually, it kind of isn't very good. But now I feel like people are super nostalgic for Twilight Princess, and, like, it's actually, like, a black sheep of the Zelda genre, Zelda series.
Yeah.
You're a wolf boy.
Yeah, that is cool.
I play a lot of anime games, and I never go in to those thinking that it's going to be anything better than a 6 out of 10. But it'd be a damn good 6 out of 10.
Yeah, you know what they usually give damn good 6 out of 10s? A 7.
Yeah, that's true.
You can play a game that's like, it feels flawed, but you still love it anyway. And it's like, yeah, I can't in like good faith good say conscience it's anything better than a 6 out of 10, but I really enjoy it.
Actually, you know what? I really like the Hyrule Warriors games, and I would never recommend them to anyone, unless on this podcast I did recommend it to people, in which case I stand by it. I think I just said it's mine. I think I would have given it a high score and said it was mindless, but
yeah,
it's good for killing time. What have I tempered? Well, Zelda games and I guess Metroid games. I never played Metroid Other M, but like I was there when it dropped.
I did. Played it day and date. Like I was very excited for that one. I did not temper my expectations for that one. I was like, this is going to be the best game ever. And it wasn't.
It killed the franchise for 10 years.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Damn you, Team Ninja.
I guess for me, it would be maybe Mirror's Edge Catalyst, because I remember when that was like announced, it was quite exciting. And I remember watching like dev trailers or whatever back in the day. And then it just didn't come out for a really long time. And I was like, they've cooked it. You know what I mean? So I guess it wasn't like an internal tempering, but like I knew what I was getting in for, kind of.
One thing that I try and temper my expectations for, but I never successfully do, is Nintendo Directs.
absolutely. You're like, always telling yourself,
this one's going to it's going to suck. But then if it does suck, then I get excited that they put on a huge announcement to announce nothing. Nintendo Directs suck me in that way, because if they're bad, that's entertaining. And if they're good, then I'm going to spend money on video games.
Yeah. It's win-win.
Yeah, big time. And finally, to bring us home, this one's from Luke. Hey, Thumboys. Do you have any games that you love, but you don't really play because they're too damn big and makes them scary to touch? I've never heard of this game, but I love Factorio.
Oh, yeah. It has made Factorio.
Yeah.
And have made some good progress in it, but sometimes it's just too complicated and it stresses me out. The game is gorgeous, the systems are well designed, it runs well, but at a certain point, planning out factory layouts and logistic chains becomes too complicated, and I leave it alone for a month until I get obsessed again. I also like the idea of Civilization-type games, but the amount of fun I get from playing them doesn't really offset the learning or frustration that's involved getting even kind of decent. Do you have any games like that, Luke? I mean, I like the Age of Empires games, so real-time strategies, and I'm not good at them, and I would never put in enough time to get good at them because they're so damn big.
Yeah. My friends are all, at the moment, playing a game called Stellaris, which is like some big space simulator, like RTS.
Tell your friends to get into EVE Online. Stop being cowards and just finally give into EVE Online.
They should. You make some real money Citizen, for once. Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. They seem like they're having a blast, and it always seems sure like a good time. And the stories they tell, I'm like, I would love to be part of this. But then the moment, like once, I was like, all right, I got the game. I think it was, I bought it or it was on special or something. I'm like, let's do it. And I opened it up and I was like, I will never play. The moment I saw the like beginning, you know, this is the start of the game or whatever, I was like, never in a million years.
Yeah.
I will play this game. I'm sure it's fun. But it's just
The Monster Hunter games for me.
Oh, great choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always like, this is going to be the Monster Hunter game that I get in on. And like Monster Hunter Rise this year, I did play maybe like 5 hours of it, but at no point did I ever feel competent at the game. And so like, it'd just be like, now go kill this big monster. And I would just spam the same attack over and over and over again, and then get wiped out, knocked on my butt. I'm going like, what am I doing wrong? I can't be bothered figuring out.
I think, also, kind of on that note, like Souls games, where I'm like, I'm sure I would like, if I got good at this, or if I even became close to competent, I would have a really good time. But the work it will take to become close to competent, I just am not willing to put in.
Someone, given how much I love Metroid games, like people are always telling me, like, oh, you would love Souls games. You know, you're talking about what you love about Metroidvania games. It just sounds like you're talking about a Souls game. Play a damn Souls game, and I never have. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially because you like Blasphemous as well, like, and Dread has a bit of it as well, of like, the once you're having to like successfully parry things in order to progress, it's like, yeah, that's Souls.
yeah, for sure. Well, I played a bit of whichever one came out on the Switch. I guess it was just Dark Souls, like, remastered.
It was Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so. Which,
I think it's just called Dark Souls Remastered. I can see
I had
this
fun with, but again, and I knew that if I kept at it, I'm like, I'm sure I will get good at this and I will progress. Yeah. But I was just like, I'm exhausted and
yeah,
I just can't be bothered. So, yeah.
Friend of the show, Lena Moon, is addicted to Rust. And I played Rust with her
yeah,
for 4 hours in one session. And I had a good time. But the idea of going back to that game stresses me out so much because the game is so big and yeah, gives you no indication of what you're meant to be doing or how to play at any point.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
Also, games that I have that I just really struggle, well, I'm way too scared to touch. Persona 5.
Yeah.
Any game that has a length over 30 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I was terrified of Hollow Knight for ages. For that exact reason, I was like, this game is going to consume me. And it did. But then I finished it, and now I'm free of its curse.
Yeah, until Silksong comes out, whenever that happens.
Oh, God. I wonder if that'll actually ever happen.
God. There was like a full-on trailer, like it feels like 10 years ago, where they were like, here it is, here's the game. And then we just heard nothing ever since.
Yeah, there was a playable demo at either E3 2018 or 2019, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the pandemic would have slowed things down.
True,
but
for sure. Yeah, but
I mean, Metroid Dread had a playable demo in like the mid-2000s as well.
Yeah. Let me play Silksong, goddamn. Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of love that it is just this thing that like whenever anyone has a direct or a showcase, everyone's like, oh, this is going to be one that Silksong shows up at. And it never
yeah,
does.
Yeah. It's true.
And now, for anyone who doesn't want to know about the end of Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
This is
and
so
for anyone who... Yeah, and anyone that wants to hear about the ending of Metroid Dread because they don't care, or they're excited to hear about how cool it is, good morning.
Whoa.
Jackson, the end of Metroid Dread is full-on psycho.
That's awesome.
So, first of all, are we going to even talk about like the main villain of Metroid Dread? His name is like Iron Beak or something like that. What's his name?
Raven Beak.
And then, which just sounds like a villain's name from like Tailspin. But he ends up like, so the whole time throughout this game, you've been communicating with Adam, who is this like, he's actually he originally was a man, but then he becomes like a computer program.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's a man in Other M. He's killed, and he's the only person that ever called you lady.
Okay. Right.
And
then,
it's like a weird thing, but then in Fusion, you make friends with a computer.
Yeah.
That. Samus calls Adam because the way that the computer communicates with her reminds her of Adam, but it's not the same Adam. It's just like a... And this Adam is the Adam from Fusion. Well, or so we think.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Because, at the end, it's revealed that Ravenbeak has been posing as Adam so that you can basically awaken your Metroid blood, because it is revealed that there's one of the best lines in the game is, Samus Aran, you are a Metroid.
So the way that it works is, because you get cutscenes more and more towards the end, Samus becomes slightly more and more unhinged. And then at one point, just full on absorbs an Emmy.
Yeah, you think you're like, you take down, like, there's like seven Emmys in the game. And you take down the sixth one, and then you encounter the seventh one. You're like, oh God, I guess I'm going to have to like... go through all this and like, you know, find the enemy that I can get the Omega Cannon again so I can take this one down. And you just encounter the Emmy and then you just put your hand on it and just absorb it and it explodes.
Oh my God. All right.
Yeah, so
it's such a great twist.
And there's like so many crazy twists. So Samus, we know, like, as a bounty hunter, as a person, has Chozo DNA. And it turns out there's two factions of Chozos, which is described in this. One that can tame Metroids and one that is immune to the power of Metroids or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed that Ravenbeak was one of the Chozos that gave you Chozo DNA. So he calls you daughter. So it's like a Darth Vader twist.
Wow.
But the Metroid DNA that you have from fusion, because like when you get attacked by the X parasite, awakens. And once you beat him, you absorb him like a Metroid.
Yeah.
And Samus gets this full on cooked, horrible power suit that's like real pointy and evil looking.
That rolls.
And you get the hyper beam, which looks like, it's kind of like a cannon that takes up like one third of the screen every time you shoot it.
It's just so good.
Because the game ends the same way that every Metroid game ends. Yeah. Like, okay, you've destroyed something, which means that a bomb's going off or the planet's going to explode. So you've got 3 minutes to get back to your ship.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There was maybe 3 seconds left on the clock when I got back to my ship.
Oh my god.
I was like, I'm super powerful now. Who cares about the time? I was like, oh, wait, the time. Oh, no. God.
But yeah, it's like one of the most cooked endings to a Metroid game I've ever experienced. Because usually, like Super Metroid, for instance, you get that crazy beam weapon when a Metroid sacrifices themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, that's when you get the Metroid DNA.
Yeah.
True.
End of Super Metroid, you absorb, like, a Metroid dies on you, basically. The baby Metroid from Samus Returns. So, like, the end of that, you're, like, colorful and shooting a crazy beam weapon to kill the mother brain, and that's cool and whatever. But this is, like, full on. Like,
full bonkers.
Yeah. And then you get back to your ship, and as you're about to take off, and another Chozo that you've met earlier in the game that gets killed.
Yeah.
Is on your ship as an ex-parasite. And it's like, wait, don't touch a ship because you're a Metroid now. You'll just absorb the energy of the ship. So then the ex-parasite sacrifices itself for Samus to absorb it so Samus can return to a regular form and then fly away. And that's how the game ends.
Absolutely buck wild. My God.
But it's so fun just for that last 3 minutes to be playing as Samus and just like, it's full basically cooked. The equivalent. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like when you're playing as Super Sonic in the Sonic games.
Yeah,
like the ability set you have, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this just breaks the game.
Yeah. And you look demented. Like,
it's like
organic, organic armor. Yeah, it's so great.
That's incredible.
It kind of looks a little bit like what if Samus was Satan?
Okay.
And yeah, anytime you fire the beam, it's just like
decimates just everything in front of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Blowing holes in walls that you usually had to avoid. It's hectic. Very, 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 very satisfying end to the game.
Yeah. Like, I could not believe what I was like. First of all, I love the cutscene before that boss fight, which, because you had to fight that boss so many times to get his patterns down, I ended up watching quite a few times because I just loved the line where he says, "You are a Metroid."
You are a Metroid. That's great.
From that moment onwards, I just like that incredible boss fight, which is so hard, and I felt like such a legend when I finally beat him.
Mm.
Then you get a cutscene where he's like, you know, "You thought you were strong enough to beat me? Yeah, right, ha ha ha." And then the Metroid and you fully awakens, and you turn into just like, to quote Joel Dusha,
Samus.
Samus. and then you have to do like that crazy charge beam, but in your new form. So it does mirror the Emmy fights to take down this last boss. Oh, man, just so good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. There is a final secret form. Well, not secret, but there's like a fourth final form of this boss. And it's like a huge, black, horrible, like, worm mixed with birds, giant thing.
Hell,
it's like gooey.
Hell yes.
And then you're like, oh god, another fight. But yeah, then it's just a one hit.
That's incredible.
Situation. Yeah.
One long hit, charged hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sick. Anyway, if you listen to this and you don't have Metroid Dread, experience this. Yeah, it's so good.
One of the best games that I've ever played. And such a, like, it just, the moment I was like hooked on it so fast. I've seen a few people that are like, you know, taking a while to get into it.
Yeah.
Because maybe like, you know, because it is a little bit more linear or like because it is hard and they're getting lost. I don't know. But I love this game within minutes of starting it. And it's all I wanted to do was finish it. So finishing it was immensely rewarding. Great game.
And Jackson, You've had the ending spoiled for you now, but like one thing that's really satisfying about this is even if you've played a bunch of Metroid games, the first items they give you are totally different from what you'd usually expect. You don't get them off ball until like halfway through the game.
Oh, I think I could know exactly what I would be like. No spoiler or anything is going to make me not play this game. You know what I mean? I'm still,
but just like stuff like, yeah. Because, like, 2D Metroids are usually like, yeah, Morph Ball's the first thing you get, and then you're going to get this. But it's just, like, none of that. You start with missiles. You don't even need to unlock them. It's, yeah, it's just, like, it's just chaos. Anyway, great game.
Great
game. Game of the year. Today's episode has 15 thumbs. Perfect episode.
Perfect episode. We did it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And if you want to, I forgot to say the email stuff. But look, you got this far. You know where to find us. Anyway, on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Levins. Listen to Hey Fam. And all the small games.
Yeah, listen to Hey Fam.
Join the Hey Fam Discord and tell everyone talking about Two Door Cinema Club to get, to quote me, fuck.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.